The drive is live. That's right. Clint in the building. Tyler in the building. Those of you joining us, however you are, YouTube and Twitch, Odyssey app, the text line. You can see if you're on YouTube and Twitch. Tyler has his Victory Monday shirt. He's worn it now 5 times out of the 6 weeks. So that means, and now, oh, he's freshly shaven. So he is in a good
place. Them little dime-sized darkies you got, man. Those things are shining when you shave all that black hair off here.
Had to get some manscaping done over the weekend, you know. Man. It's a chore.
Wifey likes dark nipples, small dark nipples, huh?
Oh, yeah. She loves them.
Oh, wow. Why were they hard? I saw how hard they were from here, man.
Because the drive is live!
Yeah, Doug, I hear you. If you was any closer to that glass, you'd have cut it.
What in the hell is going on here? From the text line, Reggie, can you see Ron going into a nude art exhibit? He may take one for the team, but he's getting to the women. The hell y'all talking?
Yeah,
about?
We Figgy's mixtape went into some places. I'll fill you in later. I feel like y'all should just talk to Texas. Don't worry about that.
I'm gonna have to go back and give Figgy's mixtape.
I don't
listen.
Know what you talk about. The hell, the Texas. That sounds a lot more entertaining. You're right. Let's get down to business.
a little
Mad Dog Monday, and look, I'm in protest here. I got my selection forced on me. which I think is unfair. I honestly, God, I believe in other spaces, you know. And I honestly, God, I think it was tough. I think, have we look at it? I think I should be the one to have bought the Mad Dog. Tyler is out of it. 13 carries, 102 yards, and 30 yards receiving, touchdowns, on the ground and in the air from Joe Mixon. I think you're good. Clint had 6 catches for Diggs and a touchdown. I think Danielle Hunter, who was forced upon me, had a big sack, force fumble.
I think that's the biggest play of the game.
Yeah, I think it was 14-7 coming right out of the half.
Might be our best week ever of Mad Dog Mondays with all three of our selections.
I just believe that in the past we have said to the others, hey, who are you going with Mad Dog Monday if they weren't there? If they haven't made their selection, like Clint last week, or like all of us last week, late right into it.
What happened last week?
Well, hell, we didn't just have a forced on us.
My guy was sick. My guy didn't play, didn't he?
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
What happened last week?
Last week, you got it late, and you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or midway of the first quarter. All right, I'm in protest. I think Danielle Hunter probably had the lowest, and he was really, really good. And as you said, may have had the biggest play of the game to open up the second half, that sack fumble that turned into points. But I'm in protest. Somebody could have reached out to me and said, hey, Ron, I know you over there watching Dolphins or you're on the beach, but who you
I
got?
I thought it was easier to just let Bajani do it instead of interrupt you on vacation with your kids, man. I think it's the right thing.
I was going to pick Will Anderson.
It was Southern hospitality, man.
And to God, I was going to pick Will Anderson.
It was Southern hospitality, man. I couldn't let Bajani do the whole show and then not get to enjoy the fun, man.
You know? Oh, wow.
I mean, that's it.
Oh, man. All right. No, it's a big game. It, like Tyler said, maybe our toughest week ever because the boys came to play. And, Clint, I said this last week. I said it, and there were people on the text line who I guess, had some Texans PTSD. We're like, no, these are the games that the Texans blow. These are the games where they... I said, man, this team sucks. And adding Drake May into it, like, you could... you could see this coming a mile away. And this is exactly, Clint and Tyler and the listeners, exactly what it is that you do when a good team that is a contender, at least for a contender for the AFC, goes against one of the worst teams in all of football. And it doesn't matter where the hell the game is. All right, as long as there were no some sort of a driving snowstorm or Hurricane Milton slid its way into New England.
Coach D'Amico wants to
speak as well with that. As long as that didn't happen, this thing was going to be and should be an ass-kicking, and that's exactly what it was. Barring that second quarter where things kind of got silly, they beat the hell out of this team exactly how they should.
Yeah, they did. They handled their business. I think, you know, when you talk about playing a lesser opponent on the road where you historically have not won games and have not played well, you know, I think it's a game that the line would say, even though I would say, I thought it was too good to be true. That's why I didn't jump on it. The line would tell you that they were a big time favorite on the road, and then obviously they went out there and everybody that we talked to, you, Brandon Scott, everybody said 10-point favorite, 15-point favorite, ought to win this game by double digits, and they went out there and handled the business. What I love about this game, or what I liked about this game, was how they went about handling that lesser opponent on the road. They did what Super Bowl contending teams need to do week in, week out. You can only play who's on your schedule. You drew one of the worst organizations in the NFL right now. You can argue been one of the worst organizations since Brady left and went to Tampa, but one of the worst organizations in football right now, the New England Patriots. And you went up there, and your performance, I think, made more people a believer that the Houston Texans are a legit contender. C.J. Stroud didn't have to be special. C.J. Stroud didn't have to be great. He was fine. He went out there and handled his business, but he didn't have to be great. Didn't have to be Superman. The other top five draft pick, the number 3 overall from last year, who many of us had asked, all right, we need to have the Aiden Hutchinson moment. All right, we need to have that Bosa moment.
Let's hope we don't have an Aiden Hutchinson moment from Will Anderson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
let's hope we not.
Yeah, they know what I'm talking about.
That nasty ass injury we saw. Let's hope we not have that moment.
Well, have the moment where you take over and you just wreck shop for the majority of the game. And Will Anderson absolutely did that, whether it was sacking the quarterback 3 times, the tackles for losses, the additional quarterback hits, or it was just all out playing with your hair on fire and setting the tone and telling the rest of the team, get on my level because this is where we're going to live today. Will Anderson did work. Joe Mixon came back, guys, just absolute different animal. Offensively, you were down one wide receiver. Diggs and Tank both stood up and played really, really well. You started fast out of the gates, both in the first half and the second half. Those are all marks of champions, man, overcoming injuries, starting fast, situational football. I know the opponent was not up to snuff. I know it was a game you were supposed to win, but the way in which the Texans went about their business made me more of a believer that this is a Super Bowl caliber football team.
Look, they beat the brakes off of them, and it didn't even seem like they were trying to. Given their A game, they beat the hell out of these guys, and that's exactly what they should do. And I wasn't surprised at all. There was no point in the game. Well, maybe we'll go over that. For me personally, there was no point in the game in which I had any level of concern that the Texans would lose the game. No, at no point. And you've brought this up multiple times. And let's hear from the people. Y'all can jump in here and join it as well. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, jump in here because you said it a couple of times. Contenders. Now, what kind of contenders are we talking about? All right, when we talk about Super Bowl contenders, we set up in the press box in the midst of that Jacksonville game in which the Texans pulled it out, but just was a game when you look at that team and how they performed where it was like, yo, man, this has got to get better, especially coming off of the close games they had with opponents you felt like they should have handled more. I said to you, I said, boy, I think we need to stop talking about them being Super Bowl contenders until they flatly show us that they are. The last 2 weeks, they beat a Buffalo team that was thought to be an upper AFC team. And then they go and just beat the brakes without Nico Collins, without Christian Harris, without some of their guys. Lassiter, Robert Woods didn't play. They go out and thump the Patriots. You said, I know they did some things that some people may look at them, Clinton, say that they're contenders. Have they done enough for you to look at them and think, all right, I feel a little different than I did in that Jacksonville game. This is a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I do. I think this is a Super Bowl contending team. I think it's they're not a favorite, but I think they're a contender. There are teams in this league that I watch play, and I question how the Texans are going to stay on the field with them. But they are absolutely a Super Bowl contender. They're absolutely one of the top AFC football teams. And when they're whole and they have all of their guys, I think they're going to be a tough out. I think they have moved beyond what we saw the Baltimore Ravens do to them last year in the playoffs. I think they've moved beyond that. Now, we'll see the regular season schedule. You got the Packers this week. That's a really, really good football team. I think all, I mean, I know a lot of people are down on them right now, but I think the Jets, at least on the defensive side of the football, that's a big time defense that you're going to play in 2 weeks. The Lions, I mean, they saw last night beat the absolute breaks off the Dallas Cowboys. There's some really good football teams on this schedule, and so we're going to find out how legit they are. But I think right now, 6 games into this season, I think they're one of the best teams in the AFC.
The arrow's pointed up.
And I think if they're playing, if everybody's healthy and they're playing at or above their ceiling, I think they can beat any team in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just has to be the point. I think you have to – now, Clint, I think there is something to history. When I say history, recent history of what teams are, I think there is something to do with Baltimore being in the wars and the battles they've been in. I think even Detroit last year being in the wars and the battles they've been in. San Francisco, Kansas City, some of these teams that aren't hugely different teams but have been there. I think there is something there. But ultimately, I think, as I've said before, once you look at what we're seeing around the league and you compare the Texans to what we're seeing around the league, I think you have to say that. I think you have to, because you look at other teams, like I would say, is Green Bay a Super Bowl contender? I'd say, yeah, I think so. And if Green Bay is, hell, the Texans are, right? Like, I mean, if that's the case, right? Like, and yes, we can see Detroit do what they did yesterday, but then we can also see Detroit struggling with Seattle and then losing at home to Tampa. So I think right now, when you look at this crew and what they've done and you compare them to what's in the league right now, I think there are some teams. Clearly, I think they're above them. But, yeah, as you said, they should feel comfortable that they have the ability to play with anybody. And I think a thing you mentioned and brought up is, we'll get to some of the thoughts from people here, is Clint, is they are now routinely, more times than not, these first 6 games, Clint, they're 5-1. And C.J. Stroud hasn't been the most significant player on the field in multiple games, right? And I think that was something they had to move on from last year, was C.J. having to be A to A-plus for them to win games. And the better the opponent, the better he had to be. And you know, they couldn't have a game where he's sub 200 yards, you know, passing. And they've had it multiple times, Clint, where he has not been the most significant player on the field for them, and they've still been able to win games.
Yeah, for me, and that's one thing. I know there's layers to this, but to me, coming into this season, a couple of things I wanted to see in order for this team to, in my mind, be a legit Super Bowl contender, and that was just that. Show me the ability to play a football game and win with the other phase of the game, defense. Show me the ability to play a game and be able to win leaning on the run game for 4 quarters, leaning on the run game in situational football. They've done both. We've seen them do both. And look, I don't care who the opponent was. Just being able to do those things, in my mind, is a step in the right direction. Now, the only thing that's left is, can you do those things against better opponents? Can you run the football the way you did yesterday? And maybe it's not for 200 yards. Maybe it's for a 140 total. But can you do that against the Detroit Lions? Can you do that against the Baltimore Ravens? Can you do that against the Kansas City Chiefs? Can you do it in a way in which, when situational football arises, the defense has to defend the run and the pass? As long as that's the case, C.J. Stroud and this offense is going to be able to score points with anybody.
Yeah, someone texted in, maybe I'm the only one that watched the Minnesota game. How could they be contenders? A couple of things. One, I think there is something too, right? I think coming up Sunday is going to be arguably the best opponent they've played, especially in terms of health. I know, as someone texted in, Buffalo had some guys down,
yeah,
and I think that was significant. I think Green Bay will be as healthy, and it's on the road. And listen, we're talking about through 6 games. Now, if they go and get absolutely destroyed by the Packers like they did against the Vikings, and now we have their 2 best games, their top 3 games were, you know, the Bills, the Vikings, and the Packers, and they got destroyed in 2 of them by contenders, then I think that would be new evidence to change the thought.
Absolutely.
So, but as of right now, through the 6 games, And when you look around the league, I think they have to be in the SB conversation as contenders.
And by the way, your 2023 Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, if I remember right, they lost a game to the Denver Broncos like 24-9.
I just want to stop you right there.
What?
The worst they lost to the Raiders on Christmas.
My point is, any given Sunday during the regular season, some crazy ish can happen.
Yeah,
that doesn't ruin your chances at a Super Bowl if you have a good squad.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs and the Patriots of the past are people or teams which you shouldn't compare to. I think a difference between like the Chiefs is they had done it so many times before that there was a confidence that we know that's not them. I don't know that the Texans have achieved that to where they could get blown out by the Vikings and fans. Hell, fans last week, Tyler was up there talking about, well, I don't know, man. This Patriots team, this is the kind of game that they get. I still think there is some evidence of the Texans haven't done it enough to just make you believe, like, oh, they'll have a one bad game and that's not them. We'll see, because if they do get blown out again by the Packers, which I don't think they will be, I think it will be a very much more competitive game than the Vikings. But if that were to happen, then I do think that potentially you look at them differently. And a team that had won two championships prior to that, I think is kind of looked at differently with them losing games to a team like this.
Yeah, look, I mean, you look at the Minnesota Vikings. I think just in response, I'm not making an excuse. I'm not minimizing because I agree wholeheartedly. That's the best team that they've played to date in terms of what we've seen this year. That's the best team that they've played to date, and it was ugly. So we can't just ignore that or minimize that. I'm not trying to at all. Where I gain a little bit of confidence in that Minnesota game is the early interception turned that game on its head, and that game immediately changed, and you're chasing from the back. That odds are with CJ Stroud that don't happen in that game again. The bigger part of it is if I see Bobby Slowick, I know he said after the game, all offenses do that. They have protections where the tight ends block the edge rushers, yada, yada, yada. It's football. I disagree wholeheartedly, right? I guarantee you if Bobby Slowick, if he was game planning for the Minnesota Vikings again, you would not see a tight end trying to block Jonathan Grenard by himself not one single time in the football game. Guarantee you. Guarantee it wouldn't happen. That thought that was going to work ruined that entire game, and they never adjusted off of it. That would not happen again if you're the Houston Texans. A lot like last week. I highlighted it. I was disgusted with Dalton Schultz and his fullback stuff, the stuff he was doing from that fullback position. Guess what? Guess what? Dalton Schultz was attached to the line of scrimmage or on the line of scrimmage in the slot the entire game. I didn't see him line up in the backfield one time. And so those are all things that I think Bobby Slowick never does again. Not that's not minimizing the game, not saying that all of a sudden the Texans win that game, but you take that early interception away and you take the silliness of trying to block edge rushers with rookie tight ends and Dalton Schultz, you take those two things off the board, that game is a different football game.
Yeah, and those are two teams that don't have a lot of history, right? That it's hard to think, like, yeah, I feel comfortable the Vikings would do that again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not certain that I feel that way. All right, coming up, as it is a victory Monday and people are still throwing in their thoughts of if they feel like this team is a contender or not. One thing that nobody can disagree with, and that was the performance from 51 yesterday. He was the best player on the field, and I don't even think it was even a question. But how great was that performance yesterday? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Third down and a long 10 from the Patriot 40. May shotgun. Two receivers each side, one back, Gibson. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr., hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is. Three on the day for Will.
Will Anderson, that was, I don't want to say, at least a 2024 breakout game from him, the reigning defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson. Three sacks, multiple tackles for loss. He was dominant in this game. And Clint, in a 20-point victory, a game in which the offense put up 41 points, to me, he was clearly the best player on the field in yesterday's game, the most impactful player on the field in yesterday's game.
Yeah, look, without a doubt. I mean, I think when you look at it for four quarters, the dude absolutely wrecked shop. The sacks were nice. The sacks are the headliner. But, man, you just watch how the guy impacted the game, whether he was getting to the quarterback or not, whether it was a pass play or a run play. We're all fully aware here of Will Anderson's high motor and the physicality, and wherever he does arrive, he arrives violently. We're all aware of that. For me, it was we asked this. B. Scott and I talked about it, and then Sean Bajani and I talked about it. Was, you know, this is a game where we need to see a moment. We need to see a, and I don't mean a moment in the game. I mean this game needs to be a career game. This game needs to be the game where one or both, Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson, need to just be the disruptors on the defense that just make it impossible for the New England Patriots to do anything. And Will Anderson was that guy. Will Anderson was absolutely that guy, and he did it for four quarters, and he ought to win Defensive Player of the Week for it.
Oh, he is. He is. I'd be shocked if he didn't. Clint, he also, you know, had the tip pass. The
interception, yeah.
That came into the ridiculous interception from Murray that he was able to catch through somebody's arms. But I mean, he was, but that's what you expect. Whether we said this, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to go one-on-one. Because I still think at this point, teams are, you know, have fear of the more established Daniil Hunter. And I think that is a part of, and his, if you would say from a sack perspective, and I would say from a sack perspective, his slow start and slower impact than maybe we thought. Was, I think he is seeing a lot more, you know, lines shifted his way, protection slid his way. And if you're going, we said, if you're going to allow Will Anderson to go one-on-one against some of these tackles, and that kid didn't have a chance, that right tackle, he's jumping off sides. Then D'Amico was mixing it up and putting them both on the same side and confusing things. But if he gets a chance to go one-on-one, the expectation is that he eat. Now, I ain't saying three sacks, a tip ball that led to an interception type of performance, yeah, and four tackle for losses, but it should be in the vein where he is clearly a problem, and you can't watch the game and not notice him.
Yeah, you just got to make it difficult on the offensive play caller and the quarterback. And I mean, it doesn't matter what the offensive play caller calls, you disrupt it, run play at you, you cause problems, run play away from you, you go get the guy for a no gain or a 1 yard gain. If you call a pass, if the ball gets out quick, you stop, you get vertical, you cause you get a tip pass for an interception. If the quarterback holds the ball at all, you beat the tackle, you go get a sack. I mean, you made it impossible for the offensive coordinator and the quarterback. Now, you know, there's, to your point, from a scheme perspective, you know, I think D'Amico Ryans is doing his damnedest to get these guys one-on-one matchups. They're pressuring more. They're playing a lot of man behind it, which is creating one-on-ones and creating opportunities for Daniil and for Will Anderson. And so when that does happen, you got to get home. We saw them not get home a couple of times, and they got lit up. But boy, if you get home more often than the other team connects, then you create turnovers and you can give your offense multiple opportunities at points, and you end up scoring 41 points and the other team can't keep up. So just Will was lights out. Will was on a different level. And that's, for me personally, I'll be honest, that's what I need to see. This team is a good pressure football team, obviously. I get it as a whole. Everybody pressures well. We've seen games where Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson together combined for 17 or 16 different pressures. We've seen it twice this year, I think. So I know as a whole and as a tandem, they're applying a ton of pressure. But I was waiting to see the game where there was one guy playing on a different level.
Was this JJ like?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it was.
Was it JJ like, Tyler? I know you. Was that? his impact in the game defensively, as I said, clearly the best player on the field in this game. And
anytime you're talking about a trifecta, it's hard for me to give pushback that that was Watt-esque.
You know, look, it's more than just
maybe
that, T, but you're right. I mean, it's more than that. The tip pass that ends up getting intercepted is J.J. Watt-esque. Early in the game, you watch him chase down a run that's away from him, and I'm telling you, it's T.J. Watt-esque. I mean, it's just
– come on, J.J.
You watch what the dude is able to do, and then you talk about, like, the way that – now, I'm not saying that he's on the same – that Will's anywhere close to the same level as J.J. Watt as it pertains – well, I'm just talking about as it pertains to the fan base in terms of the admiration that they had and the love that they had for J.J., but Will can get there. Will's the kind of dude off the field and to the meeting, to the fan base, that can absolutely get there if he continues to play like he did. So, there is no doubt about it. When the greats, the all-time greats, every single one of them, they just padded stats and blew up the box score against bad football teams. And that is how you end up getting paid. Now, you really want to get on J.J. Watt's level? You really want to get into that conversation? Then you got to do that against Detroit. You know, you got to do that against Kansas City. You got to do that against Baltimore. But if he just wants to get paid like J.J., yesterday was it.
Enough games like that.
There's enough games, yeah. I mean, there's enough games where you can pad the stats and numbers don't lie, man. You can get paid. You want to be a legend, you got to do it in big games. You got to take this team places it's never been. But if you want to get paid, yesterday will work.
Today's top hater from the text line. Don't forget Anderson had one tackle last week. Slow down just a little. He is badass.
We're talking about this week, sucker.
Y'all, I honestly, like I think that's what I think some of y'all hear when I talk. Something like this. Don't forget.
That's just Anderson a grumpy Gills right there, man.
Anderson had one tackle last week.
That's just a grumpy Gills on slow a damn victory a Monday.
Slow down a little for what? What do we do? Nobody said that he's the best pass rusher in the game.
Have a Coke and a smile, friend.
Said, hey, baby.
Sprite.
Hey. Or Sprite.
I'm usually a Sprite guy.
I like lemon lime. That's good. Have Sprite and a smile, friend.
Man, what do I go down? I really enjoy a wild cherry Pepsi.
Ooh, I had one of those at Chuck E. Cheese yesterday.
Wild cherry Pepsi?
Yeah, I'm a wild cherry Pepsi and a smile.
What about the old, wasn't the vanilla Dr. Pepper a thing back in the day?
I didn't know.
I like vanilla Coke a lot.
I didn't like it.
But the all-time goat is just regular Dr. Pepper.
You go to the movies?
Cream soda root beer?
That's strong.
I'm not a big fan of root beer.
That's strong.
Like, I don't have root beer floats. I have wild cherry Pepsi.
You don't like root beer, you don't like Dr. Pepper, but you like Pepsi?
I'm not a big fan of root beer. I'll drink it if it's the last thing in there. Like, if it's a root beer and a Fresca, I'm going to go with the root beer.
I would judge you.
I'm just not a big.
If you got all your sodas in there, all your classic sodas in a
root beer is last,
and you reach in there and you pull out a cherry Pepsi.
Oh, wow!
I would be disappointed.
No, first, don't disrespect.
I would judge
you. Wild cherry.
That's a little more fitting. That's
wild.
Wild ass Ron Pepsi. Over there getting
it
a cherry
just,
Pepsi.
It just hits different. It was good, man.
They
would take a root beer over a wild cherry Pepsi.
Absolutely,
you're insane.
I'm not. I don't do cherry, bro.
They didn't have Dr. Pepper.
I don't do cherry anything.
They didn't have Dr. Pepper
really?
That Chuck E. Cheese
I don't do cherry
yesterday.
Anything, and Pepsi is the last getting. I think I'm wrapping my hands.
Wild. Now, I don't love Pepsi regular. I don't really like, but wild.
Get that wild cherry.
Pepsi. They have some. They ain't just using just a little grenadine, man.
Been
they
fine,
doing
Tyler.
Something. They doing something. They
hey,
doing
Tyler.
Something.
She must have been fine, boy.
There's a memory tied to this somewhere.
Hey, it's not, man.
Hit that OC store about 2:30 in the morning. Can I get me a wild cherry Pepsi?
I'll
get you a six pack, baby.
Get me a big ass cup.
Six pack and a fire ant. Let's go to the house.
With some of that Sonic ice.
Ooh.
And pour that wild cherry Pepsi over that ice.
As long as you get that fire ant, you'll be all right.
I'm telling you. Root beer. Give me a wild cherry float, baby.
Cream soda.
Ew.
I ain't had a cream soda root beer in a minute.
I pass, man. I'm good. All right, we'll give our players of the game. You can text in yours, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, your players of the game. And there's a lot. There are a lot to choose from. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Usually I see people wondering when is D'Amico going to speak. He spoke earlier today. He spoke at 1:30. You could have heard of that on In the Loop. with Reggie and John Lopez and Figgy Fig. He was on 1:30, and I see a lot of people wondering about the Christian Harris update. Christian Harris update is, I tell you when he's ready. You ask me about Christian every week. I tell you when he's ready. What D'Amico said, paraphrasing.
Let me give you an update on that.
I tell you what.
He ain't close.
Let me give you an update on that. Just be grateful and thankful that Henry Toa Toa is out there balling alongside of Aziz. And when Christian Harris does come back, this linebacker crew is going to be significantly better than we thought it
Hell,
was.
Hell, Neville Hewitt was balling. He was at the highest grade according.
He graded out all right, didn't he?
Pro Football Focus.
Now, I don't have big expectations for Neville Hewitt to contribute when Christian comes back.
I don't either. I will say Neville arrives though. Well, he arrives
violently.
you know,
there ain't no doubt.
He's the type of guy that might not be covering who he's supposed to be covering or doing what he's supposed to be doing. But he gonna make up for. He gonna hit somebody.
Ain't no doubt. He ain't worried about no fine either.
He's a hell of a celebrator too. Yeah, I heard Andre Ware, and I promise we'll get to the players of the game. But Andre Ware to the game right here on Sports Radio 16, and Andre Ware said to Drake May. If I'm Drake May as a former quarterback, you knew there were some guys that you might want to get on out of bounds or get down on.
Wow.
He said, Neville Hewitt seems like that fella that you might want to get down on. Yeah, I'm with you. Neville doesn't seem like 15-yard penalties mean that much.
Penalties and fines? Nah, he's just trying to make a highlight reel, baby.
He's going to knock himself
every
out.
Every week, though.
Be seen. Let me be seen, baby. Get that big neck roll.
Yeah, dude.
And it's not the prepared. True old school, like Bosworth neck roll. It's just, it's the tweener.
Morgan used to have a tweener from Miami. Yeah, a little twinger.
It definitely screens, I will break jaws and buckle knees.
I'm prepared to do it to myself. I'm prepared to hurt myself in this thing. All of us might be going down. But let's hit it. We do this every Monday or after every game. Our players of the game, our Man Eye Institute players of the game. And Clint, I'll let you lead this thing off. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
Yeah, this one's easy for me, man. Will Anderson. You know, we just got through talking about it last segment. I don't think it's a stretch at all to have a conversation about what Will Anderson was able to do yesterday. And say it reminded you of the J.J. Watt days and the way J.J. Watt could impact a game and the way that J.J. Watt played the game with the high motor, the tackles for loss, the hits on the quarterback, the sacks, the playing sideline to sideline in a way that most big men just don't play. I got to ride with Will Anderson. He's gonna get Defensive Player of the Week once again, which I didn't know, but I think that'll be – I think we've already got four of them. That'll be five out of 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's definitely going to win.
We got a player of the week here in Houston. But, yeah, it's easy for me, man. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's Will Anderson. And it was good to see the big fella, you know, dominate the game. And not just his position, not just the right tackle. Dominate the game for four quarters and be a huge difference maker throughout. That was it.
It was, yeah. Will Anderson, three sacks, four tackle for loss. And a deflection on a tip pass from Drake May that ended up being a turnover. They had four of them.
Yeah.
In the game. For me, I'm gonna go here, and this one, man, I just felt good for this kid, and that's Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce gets my player of the game. And listen, he had 8 carries, 76 yards, 9.5 per. He was back as well. Joe Mixon returned, but he also returned. And he had missed. He had played since week one with his 3 carries for 9 yards. But you saw him looking better and running better. And in this game, as I was listening, and I agree with Mark Vandermeer, it was like turning the clock back to 2022. He got out, got in the open field, and showed you why this dude is powerful. This dude had the history of breaking tackles. And then he can run away from folks as powerful as he is. And he ran away from him, and I enjoyed how much, and this it only was 8 carries, but it felt like he got pretty good opportunities coming from Bobby Slowick and this offense to let him actually get some run, and him to go eight carries, 76 yards, and get back into the end zone I thought was a big deal, and I was very, very happy for him, man. I just can't imagine how rough things have been for him the last year plus, and I know he's making money, so many of you don't really have compassion, but I do. I was really, really happy for that kid. He has been nothing but a professional, a team player, has said all the right things, has blamed himself when I don't think it should just have been on him, and taking accountability. But I was really happy. So my player of the game goes to Damian Pierce.
Yeah, it was big. And the big run that
Hercules,
he had.
Hercules.
The big run that he had. I don't, what does that mean?
Your fan.
Who?
Hercules.
What is that?
The national pastime.
The clumps. There you go. Nice job. Nice job, Tyler.
I love that movie.
It is a good one. I have seen that movie. I didn't register on that. Yeah, look, it just feels good to see the dude do work, and the fact that it's a little bit more of a going to be. I think it's going to end up. I think it was Sunday. Going to end up being a little bit more of a downhill offense run game. I think that benefits him greatly.
Didn't see a lot of tosses, did we?
Didn't see a lot of tosses on the outside. Now that may be opponent to opponent. Now we may see him try it again later on. Now I wouldn't. I would continue to do whatever the hell it was that you were trapping that D tackle that A gap tackle, that little trap they had on him that Mixon hit a couple of times for big plays. I would continue to do that, but it seems like it's going to end up trending towards some of the things that Damian Pierce does well. And I'm here for it. And again, like I'm with you. It was good to see the young fella just have a little success and be able to celebrate.
Amen times three there on Damian Pierce. My player of the game, he was not only my Mad Dog selection, which works out nicely, and not only do I have him on both of my fantasy football teams, but I'm going with this feller.
I love Joe Mixon.
The running back, as he made his return, Joe Mixon, 13 rushes, over 100 yards on the ground, a rushing touchdown. Pair that with a receiving touchdown, two receptions from C.J. Stroud. I'm going with Mixon. He came back, and the difference he made for this Slowick offense was evident right away.
Yeah, 13 carries, 102 yards, passing touchdown early in the game to get him up 14-0, and then a rushing touchdown. It looked like hell. He said, man, hell, get me back in this game. Damian, get on his run. Get me back in this game. And that first carry, he took it to the house. So, big for Joe Mixon. Those were our Man Eye Institute players of the game. Man Eye Institute, see life better. All right. We've been talking about this run game and been disappointed in this run game. And right, I think there's a lot to get to with that. But, Clint, is it as simple as they haven't had their top two guys in the run game the last several weeks, and that's why it's looked like that they haven't had Joe Mixon and Pierce?
Because guys hit, drop, tackle.
When those two guys have played the bulk of the game, now Chicago, he played in some of it, but when they played the bulk of the game, the Colts in this game, it is absolutely the best the running game has looked in years.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, Joe Mixon makes a huge difference. And I'm not gonna put anybody else in that category because I think, to me, it's disrespectful of Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is a guy that can go get you the big 60-yard run, whatever, however far that, however long the run was.
59.
That he had 59 yards. Like that, he can go get you at any given moment. There's no question about it. And that clearly changes the game. We talked about it last night on the post game, and I'm just gonna be honest with you. I love what Joe Mixon. Obviously, I'm high on Joe Mixon, but the offensive line performance yesterday, along with Bobby Slowick's adjustments in terms of what they're doing, not asking Dalton Schultz to lead up on a linebacker from a fullback position, and the adding Cade Stover in there with his physicality, adding Kendrick Green in there at the fullback position, I think they did some things differently, both schematically and from a personnel standpoint. And then you plug in Joe Mixon, a significantly better back, more violent, more explosive, just flat out significantly better. You get a little something. So I want to tip my cap to the offensive line. No, it's been bad. It's been bad before.
But it seems like we've tipped our cap to the offensive line when those guys have been available.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right?
I mean, yeah, fair. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But now that we're here. We'll tell when the tape drop Tuesday. The tape will drop today, and I get a chance to take a peek at it. I just don't want to go overlook the entire offensive line and go, oh yeah, Joe Mixon did it all, and the offensive line is awful if Joe Mixon ain't back there. I think the O line performs significantly better.
Yeah, we'll see if that carries on. the next coming weeks. All right, coming up, listen, the Texans, they were able to get four turnovers and were all over Drake May. But Drake May is the first rookie in a long time to throw for three touchdown passes. And there were some definite moments for Drake May. Should there be some concerning moments for the Texans and the Texans defense down the line based off what we saw? We'll discuss that coming up next.